1 Peter 4:10 through 11, and we're dealing with the subject this evening of serving the Lord with your spiritual gift. You didn't necessarily even know that you have a spiritual gift, but if you are a genuinely saved individual, you have at least one spiritual gift, one divine enablement to serve the Lord. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." We are to be living the rest of our lives in accordance with the will of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, Peter instructs his readers that as part of living in the will of God, they must use their spiritual gifts in their Christian service. As part of living in the will of God, believers must use their spiritual gifts in their Christian service. We read in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Whatever spiritual gifts believers have received are to be used in their Christian service to the fullest extent possible in order to bring glory to God. Isn't that an interesting statement? But that's exactly what this passage is teaching us to do. We note something. We note that every believer, and that includes each one of us who is genuinely saved, has received at least one spiritual gift. Every believer has received at least one spiritual gift. As every man hath received the gift, we read in the first part of verse 10. As every man hath received the gift introduces the next thing believers should do as part of their living within the will of God, because the end of all things is at hand. As is used in the sense of to the degree that. You may have been given a spiritual gift that somebody else has also been given. But the amount of that gift, the dosage that you have been given, might be greater or lesser than what somebody else has been given. Okay? For example, you might be gifted in music. Some of you are. Some of you seem to have been behind the door when the gifts of music were passed out. You know, I don't know what your abilities are. I know that you sing as a congregation and you do well. But you might be gifted as a soloist, a good soloist, but you're not gifted like George Beverly Shea was gifted, okay? He's got the same gift. You just don't have it maybe to the same degree that he had it. But you need to use that gift that God has given you. Maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your gift is cleaning. Maybe your gift is helping others. Maybe your gift is just being present and being friendly with people, greeting people at the door. Maybe your gift has to do with witnessing. Maybe you have the gift of evangelism. And when I say the gift of evangelism, I'm not speaking of the person that goes around the country every week to a different church. That's a revivalist. He's not the only one that has the gift of evangelism. He may have that, but people within our local church have that too. And it means they have a gift for witnessing, that God uses them in a special way. What is your gift? Well, you might have several. Whatever they are, they will be divine enablements for you to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord as He has enabled you to do. Serve the Lord to the degree that He has given you or equipped you with that gift. How can I know how I am gifted? Believe that if you're a believer, God is going to give you a desire to do things particularly, things that others are not given that same desire, and that you're actually pretty good at it. Consider that. If God is enabling you, when you depend on Him in your Christian life, you will be able to do that gift, whatever it is, and do it well. Well, you say, I can't teach. Then you haven't been gifted with the gift of teaching. You understand? If you can't carry a tune in a bushel basket, obviously you haven't got much ability in music. It's not your gift. But maybe you can be friendly. Maybe you can be helpful to others. Maybe you can work in the church nursery. Maybe you can pass out bulletins. We've got little kids passing out bulletins, don't we? Isn't that great? We come to church and we're greeted by a four-year-old or a five-year-old, and we're glad for that. What is your gift? What is it that really you desire to do as a believer? That probably gives you a good hint as to where you are really gifted spiritually. And you'll find that when you do what you really desire to do, you'll enjoy doing it. I look at myself. I know that I'm gifted as a pastor. I'm not just a preacher. I'm a pastor. There's a difference. There's a lot of guys that think they're called to preach, but they ought to be called a pastor if they're going to be in the ministry. There's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. A preacher is somebody who can preach. A pastor is somebody who has a love for his congregation and who prays for them and who feeds them the Word of God. There's a difference. We need pastors. We've got enough preachers around the country that don't live what they're supposedly preaching. I love music. God has gifted me in that way. But somehow nobody's ever asked me to make records of my singing, all right? I had to do one DVD for or I guess it was a CD for my wife so that she could listen to it. But the fact is, I enjoy that. I enjoy fellowshipping with the people. I'm sure that God has gifted me in that area as well. What else has He gifted me? Well, I don't necessarily know, and I'm not going to go down a list for you, but whatever He's gifted me in is how I'm supposed to be serving Him. And what is true of me is likewise true of you. As is used in the sense of to the degree that every man is each one, everyone, or each person. No distinctions are made regarding age or sex. Hath received indicates that it came from some source outside of himself. It is a gift, and it is not something he can gain for himself by practice or by hard work. Somebody that can't carry a tune in a bushel basket can practice all he wants, and he's still not going to be able to carry a tune in a bushel basket. He's not gifted in that area. In the Greek text, the gift is actually a gift. It is referring to whatever gift has been received, and it's not limited to a particular gift, as if all believers have the same gift. In other words, God has placed in our church gifted individuals who are able and capable of carrying on the work of the ministry here in the church. It doesn't all fall on one person. We all are gifted in certain things, and we should serve the Lord in the area of our gift. It refers to whatever spiritual gift each believer has received, and it implies that every believer has received some spiritual gift. Some may have received more than one spiritual gift. Consider, we have ladies who play the instruments. We have ladies who not only play the instruments, but also are gifted with singing, all right? We have people who teach. We have some who preach. We have people who usher and usher very well. We don't know what everybody's gift is, but God does. What I want you to do is consider your spiritual gifts and be serving God in the area of the way He has gifted you. Of God means that the source of your spiritual gift is God Himself. You do know that He not only gave you to the parents He wanted you to have, but He also has given you some gifts spiritually, which become active for you as a saved individual. A number of spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament, in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Inasmuch as God has gifted every believer with at least one spiritual gift, and inasmuch as you are a believer, how has God gifted you spiritually? And how are you using your spiritual gift or gifts? We read in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, "For I say through the grace given unto me," and I'm saying this, "through my spiritual gift as an apostle." That is the grace that has been given to Paul. It is referred to as a grace. It's not speaking about saving grace. It is speaking about Paul's spiritual gift as an apostle. "I say to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," meaning to think reasonably or realistically or in a serious manner, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." It's according to whatever God has given to each believer to do whatever he needs to do to function where God wants him to be serving him. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office," meaning the same function, "so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Okay, ask yourself a question. You have a body, each one of you. How many different functions do you have within your own body? Your hand has one function, your foot has another one. You don't kick with your elbow, all right? You don't walk on your nose. If you face plant, you might be trying to for a little while, but you understand, our body has lots of parts, and the parts have differing functions, and yet they all work together harmoniously. As individual believers, we are gifted within the local body of Christ. And every one members one of another. We're in joint service with each other. Every part of your body works together with the rest of your body. When one part of your body stops functioning the way it should function, then you have a problem. And we understand how that works. If all of a sudden one of your kidneys is not functioning the way it's supposed to, you have a major problem. If you have a hangnail, that's not quite as major, but it can be very uncomfortable. We are one body and members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace, meaning according to the spiritual gift that is given to us. And then he lists them, whether or if prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, in accordance with the proportion of the spiritual gift given. As I've said, two believers may have been given the same gift. For example, the gift of singing. One may be a good soloist, but he may not be gifted to the same degree that George Beverly Shea was gifted. Believers are to use whatever gift they have been given to whatever degree of the gift they have received. Or ministry is our serving. Let us wait on our ministry. Have you been gifted in the area of serving? We have a good number of ladies in our church who have been. Every time we have a meal together, the meal is outstanding. We have men who are gifted in serving. They do things around the church that nobody else can do sometimes. Or he that teacheth on teaching. You might be an excellent teacher. Use that gift for the Lord as you have opportunity. He that exhorteth or encourages should be using exhortation. He should be encouraging others. Some of you have a good gift of encouraging others to do things that they need to be doing. He that giveth, isn't that interesting? Giving, not just financial, but it may be financial, but we might give ourselves on behalf of other people. As a husband, I'm supposed to be giving myself on behalf of my wife, as all our men are. And that's not a spiritual gift, but it's something that I am supposed to be doing. You wives do the same thing with your husbands or with your children. But somehow we give ourselves to each other as believers within the body of Christ. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or generosity. He that ruleth is the one who has leadership. He should serve the Lord in the capacity of leadership. We have a good number of leaders within our congregation, and we're thankful for them. I may be a leader, but I'm surely not the only leader in this congregation. This church got along without me before I came on the scene, and this church will be able to get along without me because of the leaders that we have in this congregation should the Lord take me home. I hope he gives me a little while longer so that I can continue being in this capacity. But we need to take our role as leaders seriously. He that showeth mercy, the one who shows kindness. I have been shown more kindness in this church in the time I have been here than I have been shown in other places where I have been. We have gifts, people gifted with kindness, with cheerfulness. We should do whatever we do cheerfully or gladly. As you go over into 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10, we see that there are other gifts that have been given. We've already considered this one in our Sunday evening services, and it's speaking of gifts that are no longer being given because the New Testament has been completed, but they were given at the time this was written. For to one is given by the Spirit, that's 1 Corinthians 12:8, the word of wisdom. It's a spiritual gift. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. To another, the gifts, I left off the word faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You notice this is one of those that's no longer there. Does God still heal people today? Yes. Are there divine healers out there today that are biblical? No. Not a one of them. They do not have the spiritual gift of healing. It doesn't matter what they think or claim. Remember, the biblical gift of healing always was 100% successful. Jesus never had any failure. And the others healed as well that were gifted this way. To another, the working of miracles. Now, God works miracles today. And we can talk about people working miracles, but they do not have the spiritual gift of working miracles. To another, prophecy. Do people claim to have the gift of prophecy? Oh, we hear people telling all the time what's going to be. Well, maybe we're right and maybe we're wrong. The prophets were never wrong. We sometimes are good guessers, but we're not perfect in our guessing. To another, the discerning of spirits, which means you can tell if it's really the Holy Spirit that's leading that person or if it's another spirit, a demonic spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, various kinds of languages. Well, you might have the gift of languages in your mind and that you found them easy to study and master. But this was a gift where you didn't even have to study it in order to have it. And all of a sudden, you could communicate with somebody in a foreign language without ever having studied it. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. They could understand what others in a foreign language were saying without knowing that language. Those gifts mentioned in verses 8 through 10 there in 1 Corinthians were sign gifts which were given to believers to guide in the establishment of local churches until the New Testament was completed. When the New Testament was completed, these gifts ceased to be given, so they're not given today. So you don't have any of these, and neither does anybody else, in spite of what he may think or what others may claim. Then we see some others that are still here, some that are, some that aren't. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. You have any apostles today? No. Secondarily, prophets. Do we have any prophets today? No. Thirdly, teachers. Oh, we have teachers. After that, miracles. We don't have miraculous people that can work miracles. Then gifts of healings. We don't have those anymore. Helps. We have helps. Aids. Governments. People that are in capacity as leaders within congregations. Diversities of tongues. That's various kinds of languages. And these were all there in 1 Corinthians, but they're no longer all here. Are all apostles? No. Were there some that were gifted as apostles? Yes, but not everyone was. Are all prophets? No, but some were. Are all teachers? No, but some are, and they still are teachers today. Are all workers of miracles? Well, no, but there were at one time. Have all the gifts of healing? No, not even then. Some did, some didn't. Do all speak with tongues? No. Some did, some didn't. Do all interpret? Do all translate? No, some used to, but that's not a gift anymore. And you go into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, we don't have those anymore, and some prophets, we don't have them anymore, and some evangelists. I know people think today of an evangelist as somebody who travels around the country pulling a trailer or a motorhome, and that he is gifted as an apostle, and he goes from one church to another week after week after week all around the country. Well, he may indeed be gifted as an apostle, but he's functioning as a revivalist. And he may indeed be gifted as an evangelist, and probably is. But he's functioning more in the realm of a revivalist. An evangelist is somebody within the local church who is good at witnessing. Consider, you may have the gift of evangelism. It's not my gift. My gift is teaching the believers. But if you have that gift, you just be witnessing all over the place. That's fine. We should all be witnessing. But some of you are gifted in that area. Use that gift. And then some pastors and teachers. And you notice that the pastors and teachers are the same person, a pastor, teacher. Somebody who cannot teach is not qualified biblically to be a pastor. And notice these four gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's so that the saints could do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. The perfecting of the saints will result in their doing the work of the ministry. And that's exactly what our people here are doing. You are doing the work of the ministry, and I am the leader for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And that is not necessarily numerically building up. It might be spiritually building up. It should be noted that some of these spiritual gifts were given only temporarily and have not been given since the New Testament was completed. There were 12 apostles plus Paul. When they died, they were not replaced. So there is no such thing as apostolic succession as far as the Bible is concerned. What this means is that the Mormons do not have an apostle, though they think they do. This means that the Pope is not a successor of the Apostle Peter, even though it is taught by the Roman Catholics that he is. In addition, the gift of prophecy ceased with the completion of the New Testament. This means that there are no prophets today. This means that when the New Testament was completed, the gift of prophecy ceased to be given, and that no one is receiving divine revelation directly from God today. So you need to be careful saying, God told me to do something. There's a difference between God telling you specifically to do something and God directing your thinking to do something, okay? There's a difference. The Lord directed me to ask a young lady to marry me recently. And the Lord directed her to say, after hesitating a minute, or not a minute, a few seconds, yes. And we're both delighted to know that we have God's will. But God didn't verbally say those words to me to ask her to marry me. He led me to do it. What's God leading you to do? Well, he's not giving you direct revelation. If you think you're getting direct revelation, you probably had too many anchovies on your peanut butter sandwich, all right? Speaking in tongues ceased, as did all the rest of the miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. So I ask you, how have you been gifted? Think about it. In teaching? Well, then teach. In evangelism, meaning in witnessing, as I said, I don't mean being on the road in a different church every week as a revivalist. In serving, has God gifted you in serving? We have a bunch of ladies that do very well doing that. In music, we have a bunch of people that are gifted in music. In encouraging, consider that. Do you have the gift of giving encouragement to other believers or to others? In helping, maybe you're gifted as a pastor, as a nursery worker. They don't want me in the nursery. I don't have that gift. Oh, I tell that kid to shut up, go to sleep. But somehow they don't respond to what I tell them to do. I've told more than one child to be quiet, and with very little success. How about in maintenance? We have people around here that fix things when they break down. In writing, consider, some of you write very well. How about an audiovisual like Don does in the sound booth? We have somebody gifted in our church to send things out all over the world, over the internet. God will give you the desire to do whatever he has gifted you to do. The things I love doing indicate the ways God has gifted me, and the same will be true for you. As we go on, in the second half of verse 10, we see spiritual gifts are intended to be used by believers to minister to each other. They are not for self-gratification. I should not serve as a pastor just to gratify my own self. I should serve as a pastor to minister to you folks. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This tells the responsibility of the believer with his spiritual gift. Even so has been printed in italics to show that the translators have supplied it to aid the English reader's understanding of the Greek text. And it suggests in the same way. Minister is a definite command, which is used in the sense of serve or attend to. And its present tense indicates continuing action. It means be ministering, be serving, or be attending to. Our word deacon comes from the noun form of this word. Have a lot of you been gifted in this area? Yes. I have been attended to or ministered to or served in many ways by these dear people in this church. I'm a blessed man because of it. The same is it. Serving, be ministering it. And it has reference to whatever spiritual gift the individual believer has received. Use your spiritual gift one to another, means unto one another or unto each other. And this points out the duty of believers to use their spiritual gifts for the mutual benefit of their fellow believers. Serve one another. And from what I see, there's a lot of that that goes on in our church. And we're thankful for it. And of course, that goes not only within the local family, but also beyond your own family. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God further reminds us of our responsibilities as believers to use our spiritual gifts to minister to one another. Stewards is the term used of those who were given a charge over a household, and it's well represented today by our term managers. Paul wrote that a primary responsibility of a steward or manager is to be found faithful. Here, they were to be good, meaning excellent, stewards. It is of the manifold grace of God that they are to be good or excellent managers. Manifold means of various kinds or diversified. The grace of God is a reference to the spiritual gift which a believer has received. It is called a grace of God in that it is a spiritual gift given by God to the believer, which the believer did not in any way deserve. And we believers are to be excellent managers of the various spiritual gifts God has given to us. The fact that the grace of God is manifold indicates that there is a wide variety in these gifts. Although every believer will have some gift, not every believer will have every gift or even the same gifts. Peter cites two examples of various spiritual gifts in verse 11, speaking and ministering. Paul cited a number of examples elsewhere. We've already looked at these. What it amounts to is that God has given whatever gifts he chooses to each believer whom he chooses, and has also placed people with particular gifts in particular local churches, which he wants in those churches. As individuals, we should serve him faithfully with the gifts he has given us. As a church, we should serve him in conjunction with the gifts he has placed within the congregation. As a church, we should be careful about taking on things God has not enabled us to do, even though other churches might do them and do them well. If he hasn't put someone in our congregation to do something, it probably suggests we may not need to be doing that. Think about that now. If you don't have any musicians, you're not going to have any musicians. You aren't going to be doing things that other churches might be able to do. We are gifted in many ways. Let's use our gifts serving the Lord as he desires us to do. In addition, we note that spiritual gifts are intended to be used to glorify God, not self. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If any man speak is a simple condition which for sake of discussion is assumed to be true. It is therefore understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as or assuming that. Any man is indefinite, means anyone, someone, somebody. It's not the term for an adult male, and it's not necessarily limited to adult males. Speak is present tense and suggests continuous or habitual action. This is not just any conversation which all might engage. It is the exercise of the spiritual gift of speaking, as is made clear by let him speak as the oracles of God. Since this condition is assumed to be true, it is assumed that there were some that were using this spiritual gift. Let him speak, where him refers to anyone exercising this gift of speaking, is in italics, which means that our translators have supplied it in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. It's understood in the sense of he must speak. It is the speaking of divine revelation, or the giving of messages direct from God, which Peter intends. The words following as indicate the quality of a thing, and as is used in the sense of as it were, which we use in present day English. Furthermore, its use serves to emphasize the quality of the thing which follows it, as the oracles of God. Oracles is variously translated as words, sayings, or utterances, and is used mostly of short sayings originating from a divinity. Of God may indicate the source of these sayings and may therefore mean from God. On the other hand, of God may indicate possession, meaning that they are God's sayings or that God is the one who said them. In either case, they are sayings which belong to God and which also come from God. The one exercising this gift should never add to, subtract from, or alter in any way the saying given to him by God, nor should he seek to change its emphasis. I'd like a lot of preachers to practice that last sentence. Although we realize that this gift would only have been given temporarily and that it's existed only prior to the completion of the New Testament, we must also remind ourselves how important it is today that we handle the Word of God properly, not adding to it, not subtracting from it, and not changing it in any way, because it is the Word of God. Consequently, warnings against this practice have been given in Scripture. One should note such warnings in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, in Deuteronomy 4, 2 and 12, 32, and in Proverbs 35 and 6. Today we preach and teach the completed Word of God as found in the Bible, and we are not receiving additional revelation directly from God, regardless of what some may claim. I am thankful for the preaching that we men are able to do in this congregation. the three men who preach for us from time to time, and I all have the same attitude. This is the Word of God. We're trying to teach it accurately, not to embellish it in any way, not to make it say things that it's not really saying. Unfortunately, I've heard a lot of preaching where the preacher is trying to make the scriptures say something to fit his agenda that the scriptures were never saying. But I'm thankful for Don and for Dennis and for Jesse, as well as for the ability God has given me, that we have not done that kind of preaching. We're always trying to teach accurately what we understand the Word of God to be saying and applying it to our own lives. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, we read, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book," meaning the plagues recorded in the book of Revelation. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, in the next paragraph, and I don't remember whether I have it in your notes or whether I added it later, but I'm going to maybe say something some of you perhaps have never heard, but I trust you'll understand where I'm coming from. It seems to be equivalent to saying that his name will never again be found in the book of life. What could have been his will never be his. It is not saying that God will remove his salvation. The fact is that he has never been saved in the first place and never will be. This view is consistent with the understanding that because Christ's death was intended for all humanity, everyone's name was originally written in the book of life, rather than that the person's name was written in the book of life at the instant he believed the gospel message. But as people reach a settled conclusion to reject Christ as Savior, rather than to trust in him, their names are forever removed from the book of life, which would mean that somebody has gone beyond the point of saying no to God too many times, and God has removed from him the possibility of his ever believing. From a human standpoint, we understand that God does that. From our standpoint, we can't tell when somebody has gone too far, so we continue to pray for him, believing honestly that if he will trust Christ as his Savior, he still can, as long as he has breath. So we don't give up witnessing, but we recognize that sometimes people have gone beyond where they can go with God, and God has said no and closed the book on them. We read in Deuteronomy 4:2, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught," meaning take away from it, "that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Deuteronomy 12:32, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish," meaning take away from it. Proverbs 30:5-6, "Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." A second example of a spiritual gift is indicated by the words, "if any man minister." It's a simple condition which, for sake of discussion, is assumed to be true. "Any man" is the same indefinite pronoun found in the phrase, "if any man speak," and means any, anyone. Anybody, someone or somebody. It's not necessarily limited to an adult male. The tense of minister indicates that his action is ongoing, habitual, or repeated. It's the same word used in verse 10 and means be serving, continue serving, or keep on serving. Deacon comes from the noun form of this verb. How or where this one ministers is not made clear. Peter's statement was fairly general and would include many acts of service. Now you can believe that since Gretchen had surgery and is somewhat limited in what she can do, Roger has had to step in and be ministering to her. And he's probably doing quite well at it since she looks like she's not starving to death. We're glad for that. But probably she has more of the gift of ministering than he does. And yet he's doing what he needs to do, and we're thankful for that. And we all do that for our spouses, don't we? We take care of each other. If my wife gets sick, who's the logical one to look after her? Well, I am. And what if I get sick? Who's the logical one to look after me? Well, it's not Santa Claus, you know. It is my wife, and she will do it because she loves me, and I'll do it for her because I love her. That's the way it works in Christian lives. We serve the Lord, and we serve each other because we love each other. You know, and I know, that when somebody is down for a while, we have to look after them. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, indicates the responsibility of the believer who has this gift of ministering. Let him do it as supplied from the context by the translators to complete the meaning as English as is indicated by the italics. It suggests let him be serving, or he must be serving. As is used to introduce a characteristic quality of something. It serves to emphasize the thing which follows. It's understood in the sense of as it were. Of the ability which God giveth indicates how one should use this spiritual gift of ministering in accordance with the ability God has given you. Ability means strength, power, or might. And of indicates that this strength which God gives is the source of his ministering. The word translated ability is also used in Philippians 4:13, where it's translated, I can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The ability which God giveth indicates that God provides the strength or ability to carry out this spiritual gift of ministering. Giveth suggests provides or supplies in abundance. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ tells why the one who has the spiritual gift of speaking should speak the oracles of God, and also why one who has the gift of ministering should minister out of the strength which God provides in abundance. That may be showing purpose or intended result. If showing purpose, it's understood in the sense of in order that or for the purpose that. If showing intended result, it is understood as so that or with the result that. Both are true. God is God the Father, inasmuch as Jesus Christ is mentioned separately. In all things is all pervasive and all inclusive. It is in all things or in all ways that God in all things may be glorified, gives us the end or goal of all things, including the use of these spiritual gifts. Their use is to bring glory to God. The selfish person has no interest in bringing glory to God, but only bringing glory to himself. Don't be that way. Through Jesus Christ indicates that he is the one through whom God the Father will be glorified. Believers are to use their spiritual gifts in serving Jesus Christ, and when this is done, God the Father is glorified through Christ. Keep that in mind. You bring glory to God the Father as you use your spiritual gift or gifts in the service of the Lord Jesus. To whom be glory forever and ever may refer either to God the Father or to Christ. The closest antecedent is Christ, but God's the subject of the previous verb. A similar doxology is addressed to God the Father in 1 Peter 5:11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In 2 Peter 3:18, a doxology is addressed to Jesus Christ, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Also in Romans 16:27, a doxology is addressed to God through Christ. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Thus also other doxologies in Scripture are addressed to God the Father, to God the Christ and to both God the Father and Christ. Amen. Meaning truly or so be it concludes the doxology. And so as I wrap this up, I remind you, whatever spiritual gifts you have received are to be used in Christian service to the fullest extent possible in order to bring glory to God. How are you doing? You've had the instruction. Go and do it. Jesse is going to come after I pray, and he's going to give us some prayer requests. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of studying this portion of thy word. Help us to understand it and to apply its truths to our hearts and minds, and help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.